you're listening to Critical In, episode number 31. You know what you guys probably think is that we are amazingly good-looking young men.
That's right. But in actuality, in real life, Logan is this sort of hunchback old woman, lives in an apartment with 13 cats, everything's all messy, saves old Newsweeks piled up to the corner, TV guides, it's got a bunch of old electronics that don't work anymore, it's one that's got remote controls connected to the television from like 1972. It's absolutely disgusting. Plus his one eye wanders, you're never sure where to look.
And Ryan is Penny Marshall. Ryan, what could that opening possibly imply that we saw this weekend?
We might be talking about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
That's what I was thinking. You know, when I saw that the headline Sunday morning was I try and keep up with like what movies top the list. It's like the number one movie of the week or whatever.
Right, in your old Newsweeks.
The headline was Meatballs number one for second week.
Right.
I was like, they re-released Meatballs and it's been number one for 2 weeks now?
Wouldn't it be amazing if they re-released the movie Meatballs just with no remastering, no remaking in theaters and it somehow charted top the charts?
Did you see the remastered DVD? Actually, I think it was Blu-ray of that movie. It looks so bad. It looks like they really just like mastered the VHS.
No. With the quality of the
it's like,
DVD
it's
itself?
Like they... Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's like they took the beta tape and mastered the VHS tape out of it.
That's terrible.
That's a great way to describe it.
But
you know, they're making Meatballs, oddly enough. There's your random movie news of the week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd heard about that. Do we know who the Bill Murray part has gone to?
No. If it's going to be Oscar-worthy, then I assume Bill Murray.
Yeah, right. It's a more sensitive, artsy version of Meatballs.
Yes, of Meatballs. It's like, that's the funniest thing I've heard in a while.
We should re-edit the Meatballs trailer to be an artsy, sensitive movie so it's appropriate for Bill Murray.
I saw there's some guy online, just to plug someone else who's awesome, I guess, who's taking shows like True Blood, is that the name of that show?
Uh-huh.
And things like that, and adding laugh tracks to them to kind of prove that they're actually just really, that HBO and those Showtime shows are really just sitcoms without the laugh tracks. It's kind of funny.
Cool.
Matches well. The best one still is that the guy who took The Shining,
yeah,
and made an inspirational film out of it. That was really funny.
Yeah, that was the one that won that contest.
Yeah, totally deserved it too. Because I was very inspired by that film.
Well, I'm going to change the subject on you, Logan. We actually saw the movie Surrogates, which is about people living their lives through simulacrums, Logan, if you will, robots that are intended to look like humans and you know be a layer of protection between you and the real world. Because, you know, you can't die if you're just walking around controlling a robot.
Hey, you don't have to tell me, Ryan. I saw the shit out of that movie.
Right. I know you did. When I was looking at it, when I went to see it, I was warned, don't see the shit out of it like Logan did, because it was a cautionary tale for you.
It's good to keep the shit in movies when possible, yes. Like Logan seeing the shit out of movies is a cautionary tale.
Well, it is.
It's that urban legend of Logan going home from the high school prom and seeing the shit out of a movie, and
on the handle,
he's never the same since
the movie
then.
Was a hook.
Some say he's still out there seeing the shit out of every movie he can.
So we got Bruce Willis, secret investigator dude.
With and without hair, two of my favorite Bruce Willises.
Exactly. He's got the sort of weird Conan O'Brien-y kind of hair on his surrogate. And,
oh, Bruce Willis didn't sound right. Would it be Bruce Walleye?
Bruce Walleye. You go down to the old fishing hole and catch yourself a Bruce Walleye.
Bruce Walleye, okay.
Yeah. But his actual Bruce Willis self, the real human Bruce Willis, is bald, as you expect, and has like a beard, so you can tell him apart.
This becomes a running thing of this movie. We find that no one quite looks like their surrogates.
Right, everyone's ugly.
Kind of along the lines of Gamer, now I think about it. The funny thing about this, though, I thought, Ryan, is that everyone pretty much in the movie is made up to look a lot worse. Their real selves, but Bruce Willis, like, he was the only one who was actually like, they were just like, here's Bruce Willis without makeup.
Well, that kind of works because Bruce Willis kind of indicates that he actually does like to get up and leave the room and like, you know, if not leave the house, leave the room.
He does that a lot when I'm around.
Exactly. Whereas almost everybody else in the film is pictured as this real shut-in who never gets out of the chair. They're all like dirty and gross, essentially.
Shut-ins.
And they only live their lives through this crazy robot.
remind me that one time I had to babysit those old people, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? You promised me like $20 to lick that one guy.
Oh, man. You did it, too.
I'm still waiting for the $20, by the
way.
No,
it's in the mail.
Someone's have to eat. Oh, it's in the mail? Finally.
Yeah. So, you want to throw the rest of the plot, Logan, or what do you want to do?
Well, surrogates remind me of two movies we've done recently, Ryan. Gamer to be number one, which I mentioned. And Whiteout, only because it's based on this graphic novel. And I didn't get the feeling as strongly as I did with Whiteout that this is based on a graphic novel, but I'm not seeing a bunch of stuff that was in the graphic novel.
Uh-huh.
But I get the feeling that happened, because this movie, after it's over, I was like, whoa, 88 minutes? Really, movie?
Yeah, it was real short.
It's very short, I think. And I don't know. Maybe it was based on a Sunday comic. Who knows?
Yeah, it was based on a Peanuts strip that Charles Schulz did before he died. Much like Spielberg's taking on Michael Crichton's old work. Somebody took...
You know, Bruce Willis can never hold that football in place.
That was the issue. That's right.
He's always getting... Yeah.
So anyway, Bruce Willis is after some, you know, people who are trying to take down all surrogates. And basically trying to figure out what's going on. In the process of trying to figure it out... He loses his surrogate, and so he's actually got to go beat the streets as a real person, which no one ever does anymore. So it's really sort of dangerous and disorienting for him to be the only human in a land of robots.
But if you have to do that, it's good to be Bruce Willis.
Yeah, if you're going to be somebody in the land of robots, it's either Will Smith or Bruce Willis that you want to be.
That's Will Smith? I'm going to lean more towards Bruce Willis.
It's true. And plus,
although Will Smith had the awesome shoes in that movie.
But he also had to hang out with Shia LaBeouf.
Just saying. No, he was barely in that movie. He'd show up to be like, remember that time I let you kiss my mom? Gotta go! Like, he's always being like chased off by something.
It was
like
an implied Shia relationship.
Yes, it's a bit odd. Surrogates, Ryan, is like it's a really interesting concept, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a variation of concepts we've seen before. I'm not going to say it's completely original.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoyed the way it was presented in the movie. It's cool that they actually, you can... I mean, this is something that, as when you're reading the script, you're like, okay, well, how am I going to tell the surrogates apart from the real people unless they just say they're surrogates? Well, he did this really interesting, same director as Terminator 3, same writers, by the way, as Terminator 3 and Terminator Salvation, Terminator 4. He did this real interesting visual thing where I guess, like, they went through later on and touched up everyone's face because everyone has this, like, sort of, like, glossy 1950s movie girl look to them.
Yeah, I don't know if that was makeup or completely CG.
It looked really cool, though, and I thought that was a cool way to do that. Where like they didn't have every other line saying I am the surrogate of Bruce Willis.
Right.
They had like I don't know, it was kind of cool that they thought the audience was smart enough to like tell these people apart and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It has this great interesting backstory involving James Cromwell as well.
Yeah.
Who really did the entire movie from a chair.
Yeah, literally. But for good reason, because his character has lost the use of his legs.
But not like I'm not like a wheelchair. Like he's pretty much in the same room the whole movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, completely.
Like you know, hey, remember John Travolta's performance in The Punisher, Ryan?
Mm.
It's like that. He didn't have to leave his office.
Except it's even more intense because half of James Cromwell's scenes are with another actor playing his character.
Yes, yeah, true.
He's using a surrogate of his young son.
Which is how I feel about a lot of John Travolta movies.
Exactly, or how you prefer it to be.
Hey, the first time I saw Grease, I thought he was Olivia Newton-John.
So here's my problem with surrogates, Logan. Not that great.
Yeah?
To be honest with you, I don't really have much more to say. The thing is, I as I was watching it, I was like, I don't have any problem with what's going on. It seems okay. Plugs along all right.
Yeah.
But certainly it's not too long, as we just said. But nothing interesting really happens. I'm not really invested in the characters. It feels like a real wasted use of this idea, because the cool things that I think you could get out of it, like Bruce Willis, you know, being mistaken for a surrogate or not knowing who he was real, or any sort of like deep meaning behind, you know, the people who want to bring the surrogates down and live, you know, as humans. I feel like none of that was really in there. Like, it was just sort of a very straightforward action movie, which didn't even have a lot of action, that didn't take too much advantage of his premise and also didn't take very much advantage of Bruce Willis, who is usually very cool. At the same time, I didn't dislike anything really. It's just sort of mediocre to me.
Well, folks, I've been trying to get us to do like a 15-20 minute show now for a very long time. and this is the first time ever, Ryan, that you've actually just been like, well, that's pretty much all I have to say, so I should just really shut up now. I'll take issue with a few things, just for the, you know, we have to give the kids something, you know, Ryan? some of that stuff is actually in there. The first point, I don't think it was really supposed to be an action movie. I think it's plugged that way in the trailers and all that, but I think it actually comes across as more as a drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not giving you points for that, though. Stick with me, okay? Mm-hmm. Two, you said, like, oh, who's a surrogate, who's really not a surrogate. That kind of works into the movie in a surprising way. That part took me off guard. I won't give anything away. Didn't really expect it. It doesn't actually, like, it doesn't pay off, though, to be honest with you. There's no build-up to that. It just happens to, like, turn out that way. And you're like, oh. And there's really no resolution to that either. It's just kind of, yeah, like, okay, that's the case. Like,
it's a twist that doesn't affect the plot.
Exactly. However, two things I really enjoyed about that, I think slightly pushed it over, is that visually, I think it looks cool. Like I said, the fact that we can tell the surrogates apart from the other people is kind of cool. I think the whole circuit thing is cool. I think we see enough of it in the movie for it to be awesome, not enough to be like, oh, I want to know more about that. Two, it's one of those rare movies I walked out of. It's like, wow, I really hope that doesn't happen in the future.
Yeah.
Because that part kind of got on your skin. It was kind of scary to think about.
Well, in the future, I was thinking about the same thing. I don't think that's ever going to happen because...
Well, no, I'm not saying that's going to happen at all. I'm not. This movie in no way is predicting the future, right?
No, but I just want to throw this out there. I don't think it's going to happen because even if we got into a position where most of our outside daily life was like lived through surrogates, you would never use them in your house because why would you? Like, you would always interact with people that you lived with through yourself, not robots. I mean, that seems silly. That's sort of central to the story, which is why I bring it up. But
I think that was important to the story because we were supposed to get that he was distant from his wife.
No, and I totally get that. It's just sort of like, why? How did that ever happen? I mean, yes, they do make an attempt to explain it, but I don't think that would really happen in the future. I'm not actually arguing about the movie. I'm arguing about the future right now.
Yeah, right. Which I'm with you on that because I don't know what the future holds, Ryan.
I did find it incredibly funny that people go to office jobs in their robot surrogate suits and then robotically operate fake robot fingers that are typing on a keyboard. Like, there's no easier way to do that. Like, they like actually are like seven layers of technology deep.
I mean, if you want to get technical, there's a lot of plot holes you could discover in this movie. Mm-hmm. But it's not, I mean, more so than Whiteout, it's easier to look past those here.
Sure.
But like I said, it's in no way a great movie, and to be honest, you can easily miss it. It's a DVD rental, I think.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't pay money to see it.
But you're probably going to see it, to be honest with you. I saw it as number two this week. I think much like us, Ryan, the trailer's sort of like grabbing you. You want to see what this is all about.
You know, maybe my main disappointment is that the trailer does paint it as sort of a
big actioneer kind of.
Like a mystery thriller, right?
Yeah. We don't get any of that.
There's no mystery, and it's not very thrilling. I mean,
it's just kind of like a bleak future movie, and that's about it.
Yeah, actually, that's a good way to characterize it.
Well, after it was over, I said there's nothing really exciting to say about this movie, but at the same time, I got nothing really bad to say. But I think it is slightly better than your average kind of mediocre, mundane film. So because of that, I give it a 6.
I give it a 5. I would put it right at the mediocre level. I mean, again, like, I sort of agree with you. Well, I think there are bad things to say about the movie in as much as it's just not interesting. It's like it doesn't provide enough thrill to be a thriller. It's not enough dramatic to be a drama, etc. But you're right. I mean, individually... the art style is cool. Yeah, it's definitely cool that they were able to distinguish the surrogates visually like that. The actors are all pretty serviceable. Bruce Willis is great. It's just I don't think there's enough opportunity for him to be Bruce Willis.
I think he's not the action Bruce Willis, but I think he gets to be Bruce Willis enough in this movie.
He's almost the unbreakable Bruce Willis.
No. Let's not bring that up.
No, I mean, like, he's a sort of, like, inner torment-y Bruce Willis.
No. I think more Sixth Sense Bruce Willis. If we have to get into, like, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movies, and I'd say Sixth Sense Bruce Willis, where he's kind of like going around exploring things as they happen. The Unbreakable Bruce Willis, who's kind of like, this movie sucks.
Yeah, I guess I lean more towards the Unbreakable Bruce Willis.
I'm thinking maybe more like Signs Bruce Willis. That was Bruce Willis.
He was very Hudson Hawk Bruce Willis, I think.
Oh, that was funny, though. I love that. I like when he surfs.
Here's my question. Okay. If you're going to give Bruce Willis fake hair for his surrogate... why not give him the fake hair that Bruce Willis used to have? Like, why not make it look like...
No, hold on, Ryan. But the whole point was he got to do whatever he wanted for a surrogate.
I know, but that hair looked terrible.
He didn't know that. That's what he wanted, right?
Oh, I see. So it was actually kind of clever that he made a bad choice of his own hair.
Yes, I think so, too. Okay. There are a lot of bad surrogate choices in this movie, I think.
I guess I can follow that.
But also, yeah, another highlight of this film, oddly enough, was getting to see what the real people look like. And the movie kind of, once they built that up, they knew it, too. They went out of their way sometimes to, like, cut to the other kid person and be like, oh my goodness, that's what they look like.
That's true. But that, that's true.
The makeup of that was like, let's just pretty much give everyone blemishes.
Exactly. Like, it never really, that didn't pay off. It was more just sort of like, well, here's our one gimmick kind of a thing.
I also enjoy that people apparently only use surrogates when they wear, like, pajamas.
Well, why would you get dressed? Exactly.
Hey, yeah, I only do this show in my pajamas. Screw that. I did this in my birthday suit, Ryan. Happy birthday, Logan.
You know, one of the cool future-y things, though, that I actually did enjoy, and it took, and I like how they presented it because it took me forever to figure out.
You gonna tell me about another future movie like Terminator or something like that?
In this movie, one of the cool future-y like aspects that they introduced that I didn't pick up on right away, and then when I got it, I was like, "Oh, that's cool." Were the remote charging stations?
Yeah.
Like I saw that on the subway, and I was like, "What is that?" Yep. And then I saw them like lined up on the streets, and there are surrogates in them, and I'm like, "All right." And then I was like, "Oh, they have to stop and charge in the middle of the day sometimes." Like, "Oh, that's kind of cool," and they don't ever call attention to it.
I assume this is something probably the graphic novel went into. Mm-hmm. I bet it offers a lot of background. You know, one of these days we'll actually read these. But after Watchmen, I don't see the point. So.
Well, Watchmen, after you read that, what else do you have to read?
That's right.
I say.
So there is Surrogates. I'd say avoid it right now. Check it out on DVD. It's a Netflix.
That was a short show.
Well, good. I like it that way, Ryan.
I mean, we should
short to the point.
We should talk about something else to like make them feel like they like got their money's worth this show.
Well, here, you know, last week we covered Jennifer's Body, right?
Right. And then we covered Hook.
Well, after I read this really sad, her weekly, we talked about, you know, her Diablo Cody's Weekly Entertainment Weekly comment.
Sure.
Column.
The
right?
Weekly.
The Weekly Weekly, as she calls it. Well, she wrote this really sad thing about how she went out with her husband and like they had this really sad breakfast because the movie flopped. I was like, oh, Diablo Cody, here's some of my money.
Did it really flop that hard?
Oh, yeah. It was a terrible flop.
I don't pay attention to the box office enough.
It's terrible. But she's like, hopefully it'll find new life on DVD. I hope so, too, because that movie kind of deserves it.
And I bet it will.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right.
I think one of the reasons it flopped, because it was in bed of Hot Topic, maybe. I'm just saying. Mm. Anyway, so what is her next project, you may ask, Ryan? Are you ready for this?
I think I just read something about this. But
she's going to get as far away from a bloody, gory thing like Jennifer's Body as she can. She's going to make a Sweet Valley High movie.
All right, now, what is Sweet Valley High?
Sweet Valley High, Ryan, as those of us who read Chick Lit may remember. I was reading high. Middle school was all the rage. I thought the first 20 volumes were Hardy Boy volumes.
Uh-huh, right.
I was like, Nancy Drew has a big part in these.
He caught on after a while.
Basically, it's like they're twins, right? They go to the same school. This isn't a conflict of interest at all. Uh-huh. They have all the same classes. They date all the same guys.
What?
Wackiness is bound to happen. I don't know if she'll do this tongue-in-cheek or what, but she said she's a huge fan of the original novels.
So it's just a story about twins in high school.
Yes, pretty much. So I'm interested to see what she can do with this. I'm only because, one, it's her, and it's completely different than anything she's done before, so it'll be worthwhile, I think.
Well, do they solve crimes? I mean, what would they do? They just...
Ryan, okay? You're still in your man-driven world,
they
right?
They solved crimes, right?
Where everything has a wiener.
Dog with a wiener?
Girls don't solve crimes. They have boy issues and makeup issues. And, oh my God, these jeans look too big on me issues, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever lived with a girl?
Well,
Ryan, sit on my lap here.
Okay, let me sit up here.
Let me tell you a little something about this.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there, I guess.
I mostly just solve crimes.
And I'm all for that, because, they're crimes
need to be
that
solved.
Need to be solved. Exactly,
who
right,
else is
right.
going to solve them?
Exactly. And I think that's what men are supposed to do in the world, you know?
That's true.
And the women are supposed to stay at home and make me pie.
All of them make pie for
all
you.
Of them in general, because I like a pie, Ryan.
Logan, if there's one thing I've always said about you.
Yeah.
There's two, actually, things. One.
Yeah. Sexist and racist?
That guy likes to solve some crimes.
Yeah. That's you.
Oh.
Stop confusing us. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at this mirror.
It's okay.
And two.
I don't look like you either.
This mirror was made in China.
Yes, it was.
Those are the two things that I say about you. Well, Sweet Valley High, eh? I also heard that she was theoretically in talks to do some sort of Playboy movie.
Oh, dear. I hope so.
Oh, dear.
I just banned it on Facebook.
And I don't know what the story would be there. I don't know if it's about the origins of the magazine or some sort of just Playboy-themed film.
That'd be if it's the origins of the magazine, that'd be a really interesting movie. I'm sure someone's going to get around to making that eventually.
Yeah, right? I mean, eventually.
Did you hear, speaking of weird biography films, Joe Dante has been apparently trying for years to get a Roger Corman biography film off the ground.
I'd watch that.
But he says it's not. It's gonna be like your. It's gonna be a. I'm trying to think. It's gonna be kind of like a biography in the same way that Finding Neverland was, where we're gonna actually get to see like in his. You know, we'll see Roger Corman going through his daily life, but at the same time, we'll see inside his mind is like when he sees like this bum on the street and how he turns that into a whole cheap film really quick.
I think that could be good.
I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But sadly, no one's giving him money because one, it's about Roger Corman, and two, it's Joe Dante. Come on.
What has Dante done most recently?
His big thing coming up, Brian, is The Hole, which pretty much just opens itself up to bad reviews based on the title. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a 3D horror movie about some kids who move into a new house and find the hole to hell in their basement.
That's cool.
Which, you know, nothing super original about that, but in 3D...
When you say kids, is it like a kids scary movie?
It'll be so much like Haunting in Connecticut or Amityville, right? Where it's like a family that moves in and like the teenagers are the ones who find it. Because people only want to see teenagers on screen. They're young, they're good looking.
Sure. They solve crimes.
No, they don't all solve crimes, mm-hmm. Ryan.
Oh.
That was just the books. What are you, Encyclopedia Brown now?
Speaking of kids who teenagers solve crimes, have you heard about this this live-action Scooby-Doo prequel movie, straight to video?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
That looks terrible.
I don't know who was like sitting around and was like, you know, we need to make another Scooby-Doo movie. Sure, we can't get any of the cast back because they're all in their 40s now. But why don't we make it a prequel then? But on a... on a plus note, it looks like Frank Welker is going back to doing Scooby's voice.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
which is interesting. I don't know if the other guy was finally like, I give up on this. But you know, Welker appeared in the first two films as different people, but mm-hmm. it was just him, Scooby. But for what it's worth, I always said I liked the first two in like a casual way.
Yeah, me too.
They were a lot of fun, but that was about it.
Well, Welker is doing the voice of Scooby on the new What's New Scooby-Doo series, whose theme song is in the trailer for this prequel movie, so I guess it's sort of based off of that.
Ryan Welker did the voice to every Scooby except for which series?
Well, he didn't do the voice up. He didn't do the voice when Doss Butler was alive. Doss Butler did the voice.
That sounds like a fake German name. Like that's what you call the butler in Germany, Doss Butler.
I do call him that. Doss Butler also did Scrappy Doo.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know which series you're talking about.
I don't know. It seems like there was a later series where he didn't do the voice.
Well, Doss Butler did it, Doss Butler died, and then I think Frank Welker did it occasionally, but it was also like a string of other people, because Doss Butler died in the 90s, so it wasn't too long ago. And then then I think Frank Welker became the official voice pretty recently.
Well, we somehow went from surrogates to Frank Welker. But you know, the kids, this is like real life. This is where all of me and Ryan's conversations end up.
Do you know where...
either Frank Welker or Chevy Chase.
Do you know what Frank Welker is also in?
Like right now?
Yes. In theaters right now?
No, but you're going to tell me, right?
I am. He's in The Informant with Matt Damon.
Oh, no. Okay, I knew that.
Yeah, it's got to get
I only knew that because you called me during the movie and you're like, Logan, don't talk at all because people will hear you talk. But they're not, I'm whispering. And Frank, I think that's Frank. I'll call you back.
The crime of where Frank Welker is.
Stop solving crimes! That's what I said.
But I'm so good at it.
Ryan, reach Valley High, I forgot that. Ryan, don't you have a crime to run off and solve right now?
I do. There's
many crimes. What is your current crime you're working on? As your secretary, I should know these things. I have to keep track of all your crimes for you.
Well, there is a French ingenue who's asked me to investigate the murder of her rich uncle, who she came to New York to see, but who now is nowhere to be found. So I'm going to track them all down. But except I keep getting strange calls from this art dealer who claims to be blackmailing somebody. Yeah, I don't have any crimes to solve right now.
Right. And I, to be honest, I don't think you ever did. Because all the crimes you always told me you did solve involved John Candy. Ryan, the guy's been dead for years. I wasn't going to say anything, but now you know what? There's no way all your crimes can involve John Candy.
Death is the biggest crime of all.
John Candy?
John Candy's death is the biggest
crime. That's the worst pun ever, Ryan.
I said death is the biggest crime of all.
Oh, I thought you said, that's the biggest crime of all.
Yeah. John Candy, the biggest crime of all.
Well, that movie should have been made, obviously.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles alone exonerates any other thing he's ever done.
Man. Hey, Ryan, cool runnings.
Cool runnings to you too, Logan. That's our new greeting.
Cool runnings and happy endings.
Okay.
That should just be how I leave the show, actually. But until then, critical-in.com has amazing stuff. And Ryan, what's this all this I hear about the kids checking out this thing called iTunes?
Well, if you search for Critical End on iTunes, you'll find us. You can subscribe to this podcast, and you can also rate and review the show, which we sure would appreciate because it helps people find the show easier. Also, if you go to the critical-end.com, you can now very easily share any posts that you want on Facebook and other, you know, social media things that the kids do these days, because we got little buttons there to let you do it.
And the comments are starting to pick up too, so keep commenting, kids. We like that. It's
fun. We do. We're fans.
We mostly just ignore them.
Sure.
Because what we say is set in stone, and you're not going to change our opinions.
Mm-mm. Except when we edit the post to reflect your changed opinions.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. And I just now realized how to do it without putting "edited by Logan Lee" at the bottom.
Okay.
Oh, so now it's like they have no clue I did it. And I always respond, "You are exactly right," too.
That solves that particular crime I was working on as to how that was happening.
Well, cool runnings, Ryan.
Cool runnings, Logan.
No, and happy endings.
Oh.
How do you ever solve crimes? I mean...
Music by Kevin MacLeod.